My name is Dan Clark. I am sharing the God's hand, God's word, the hand illustration at the Navigator headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. And it is October the 5th, right? 2016. And as I mentioned to you, I gave you two handouts because I was prepared to do both workshops independently, and I didn't know exactly how many to make, and so some of the information is repeated, but I think it's all useful. And I was very happy when Rich asked me to share this workshop, because I really do love this book. And I believe that it is foundational to our life in every way possible. I believe that it's the truth. And whenever anything I see in life or philosophy has a conflict with this book, my fallback position is here. It's inspired by God and profitable for many things, for ministry. I think it's also useful and profitable in ways that aren't spiritual, just practical ways in life. It is perfect, it doesn't have any flaws, and it is a guide to us through our everyday. One of my favorite passages is, "Thy word is a light unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So I wanted to share with you a little bit the hand illustration. It's very simple. It's very basic. You've probably heard it before. You probably use it as part of your training and leading of men. And then also, since I did the God's Word daily reading, I'll incorporate a little bit more of that into this presentation than I maybe would have otherwise. But what do we know about God's Word in the Scripture? So can you look up Hebrews 4:12, please? And Ephesians 6:13 through 18, and then 2 Timothy 2:15. And we'll use those scriptures to launch our workshop. So if you could read.
Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart."
Okay, so it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yes.
Able to do what it's set to do. Another place calls God's Word a hammer. Okay, and your passage, please?
Ephesians 6:13 to 18. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that on the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints."
Okay, so we'll stop there for just a second. It's a part of the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's both, can be both defensive, but also offensive in nature, right? We can use it to attack, to thrust, to parry, and so all the others, you know, seem to be more defensive in nature, but this one is the one where we can actually do something. And as you know, anytime we share the gospel or when we're trying to share into other people's lives, you know, I like to use as much as possible the Word of God to do that, so that the Holy Spirit can have a way to use His Word and use it effectively. And then your passage, please.
2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Yes. Okay. And so as disciples of Christ and as disciple makers, our objective should be to be an accurate and skilled handler of this truth. And that's where I think the hand illustration comes in handy. That sounds kind of funny. Because it is with these five disciplines that we'll talk about that we can become an accurate and skilled handler of God's truth. And so it's hearing the word. We should have a regular dose of hearing God's word. It's through the reading of Scripture on a daily basis. It's through the study of Scripture on a consistent, disciplined basis. Memorizing Scripture and meditating. And as we look through these five disciplines, we see that there is an ever-strengthening force or sequence to these things, because hearing is important, because we expose ourselves to the thoughts of other people and other ways of people, you know, reasoning through Scripture and presenting the truths that are there. And it's amazing how you can learn from different folks who process their understanding of Scripture different than I do, or than Stanley does, or whoever it is that we listen to on a regular basis. But those things, you know, what we hear, we can only retain so much, right? And we'll grasp one truth or something, and unless we write it down, or unless we do something with that, or you know, make a point of remembering it, we'll forget 99% of what we heard, and that's normal. And that's why we followed up with reading and so on and so forth. But let's talk about hearing first. I don't know for you here, I'm not that familiar with how things work, but you know, I'm sure that you probably have a group that you fellowship with, a church, and you get a regular dose of God's word preached to you. I am a part of a church. I'm a member of a church and an associate staff, part-time staff. And so I attend church regularly, except when I'm traveling or doing something else. And so I do get a healthy dose of hearing God's word being preached. I am very picky about who it is that I go to, and so every time that we have joined a church or a fellowship, we make sure that is a sound, Bible-believing church that has doctrine statements that I agree with, and I don't want to be hearing something that's incorrect or heresy, and so we make a big deal out of it. I also, sometimes when I'm traveling in my car alone, or when I feel like maybe I haven't gotten enough for that week, there's certain people that I like to listen to on the internet. I don't particularly like watching TV evangelists or you know, watching other people on TV, but I do like to listen on the internet. And there's a couple of guys that are my favorites, and that I know that I can just pick any sermon from the places where they're at and enjoy and be fed. There's an old man who read through the Bible on the internet. His name was J. Vernon McGee, and he is one of those that I will always listen to before I do a Bible study, because he had some very deep insights. You know, old-timey insights from a era past, you know, where they really believed that God's word was yes. And so I do that. But let's read a couple of verses on hearing. So if you could get Romans 10:17, and then coming down the line, Luke 11:28, and I'll read Hebrews 2:1. So when you're ready, just take that up. And
I am ready.
All right.
Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is acted in the word of Christ.
Yes, okay. So faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing the words of Christ. I depend very little on my ability to say things and convince people that something is right. I'd much rather share scripture and than share my own life, but you know, that's the things that the Holy Spirit can use. How about your verse?
Luke 11:28, mm-hmm. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it.
Yeah. Okay, so blessed are those who hear the word of God. Right? Okay. Oh, and I skipped you, didn't I? So Hebrews 2:1.
Hebrews 2:1. We must give our full attention to what we were told, so that we won't drift away.
Yes, okay. So the Bible assumes that we are sitting and hearing someone share the word with us and preaching. So that's the first step, and that's where most people, most Christians, agree that it's good to be a part of a fellowship, it's good to be a part of a group, to be taught by a pastor, and sadly, that's where many stop. You know, they don't have anything more. They have a Bible, they maybe open it sometimes when they're in church, they maybe open it for a special event, but they have no handling of it. So if we were to hold a Bible in our hand and kind of try to keep it balanced on our pinky, you know, it wouldn't take Satan much to just knock that thing off and throw us off our balance and either get us into a belief that is cultish or heretic or useless at all to be approved by Christ. Okay, so the next finger would be reading the Word of God. And so we'll kind of go back through here again. Since I'm doing all the talking, I'll have you read Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, Romans 15, 4, 1 Timothy 4, 13, and Revelations 1, 3.
Deuteronomy 17, 18, 20. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brother, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel.
Okay, and so those were the words of God regarding the kings and what they should do. And one of the things that that king should do is to write down all of the Bible, what they had at that point, and then read it every day so that he could obey the words in it and guide his kingdom faithfully. And, you know, you and I, we've been called to be a royal priesthood, right? Kings and priests. And so what should our motivation be but the same as what God asked of his king, right? I just thought of this right now as we were sharing, but there's when Israel was falling into sin, and then a king would take over and bring them back to righteousness, and then his son would take him back into the pit, and then grandson would arise and be a good king. There's one story, and I'm failing to find exactly where it is, but they had lost the scrolls altogether, and they found them under the rubble in the temple, you know, from the years of disuse and neglect. And the king had it read to him, and as it was being read to him, he fell into sackcloth and ashes because they had not followed those things, and they were, and he was basically following something that he thought he knew, and was way off base. And if going to the other handout that I gave you, to have a wrong impression of God is dangerous. You know, to go off of just a half knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit puts us in a situation where we may be worshiping something that is a false god, you know, which would make it an idol, or worshiping God for what he's not. And so we don't want to be put in that situation. We could be put in that situation because of ignorance, for a time, but when we really, truly want to worship the true God, we need to know exactly who he is and what he requires of us. So that's part of our motivation. And if you would look at the second handout that I gave you on the daily reading, let's see, where is it at? Oh, no, it's in this one, in this one. I attached the Bible study that I did on page 3. I attached the Bible study that I did with the men in my church, the men that I kind of have a discipleship with. And we went through the catechisms of the church, the Shorter Westminster Catechism, which was designed to teach the main concepts of the Bible in a question and answer form so that the children could memorize them and learn. And so the catechism says, what rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify him? And the answer is, the word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us on how we may glorify and enjoy him. And then the second question, what does the Bible primarily teach? The Bible primarily teaches what man must believe about God and what God requires of man. And so if we don't read the scriptures, we put ourselves in danger of following traditions of men or of things that we might have remembered that were told of us, you know, or believing everything that is said to us. And that's a dangerous place to be put into. So, okay, where did we stop? Romans 15:4, is that right? Why don't you read Romans 15:4?
Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope.
Exactly. And so all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. All of it, but primarily those passages of scripture that we might read and we kind of get stuck into and we don't like them because Leviticus is just too boring and the law doesn't apply anymore, or Numbers with the genealogies. There's something there for us, you know, and Luther once said that all scripture is Christ. And so, so every day when we read, when we open up the Word, regardless of where we're at in the Old Testament, New Testament, look for Christ there, and you might find a surprise. Okay? The next passage, please. 1 Timothy.
So 1 Timothy 4:13 says that until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching.
Okay? Yes. So daily, constant reading. And then Revelations 1:3.
Revelation 1:3 says that blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it before the time is near.
Yes. So blessings follow in that. And so as we, you know, still hard to really hold on to the scriptures with only two fingers, but the grip is getting a little bit stronger. And I wanted to just shape, since I did all the work of getting the other workshop prepared, you know, just kind of share with you guys a little bit of how I've handled the reading part, because sometimes it can feel like we're doing it for legalistic purposes, or because, you know, because I'm on staff with the Navigators, or, right? And you know, for years I kind of stuck to the mentality of reading through the Bible once a year, one way or another, and just for your information and use and help on the second handout, I attached several of those programs that are different in nature from each other, but that take you through the Bible on a yearly basis. And to tell you the truth, the last year that I was reading, I noticed that I would read my three chapters or whatever it was, and at the end of the day, I kind of couldn't remember what I'd just gone through sometimes. And that I just read the read, and I had a catch in my soul because of that. And what I've done in the last 2 years is a little bit different. And I read one chapter, just chronologically through the Bible, you know, or the way it's written. So Genesis 1, you know, I'll read that. And then I purpose in my heart to read through Proverbs on the months that end in 31. Just to have those bits of wisdom in my heart on a daily basis. And so I'll read one chapter of the Bible, and what I've been doing is going through, I'll have my different Bibles that I've read over the years kind of stacked next to each other. And what I like to do when I'm reading is think, you know, where have I seen this concept before? You know, where is a good cross-reference for this verse? And I'm always thinking that, because that's the way John Mann brought me up spiritually, is always looking for where does the Bible explain itself differently in a different place, or the same way in a different place. And so instead of rushing through, trying to read through, I go slowly. I look through the other Bibles and write my cross-references so that I have it all in my newest Bible that my wife gave me. And so on 6 months out of the year, I read Proverbs. And on the other 5 months, you know, it's 150 more days. And so that fits perfectly to read through the Psalms. So I would take one Psalm a day and read that. Now in Psalm 119, I'm in a pickle, you know, because it's so long. And so that's what I do with the 12th month. I kind of reserve it for whatever I fell behind on or whatever. But so that's what I'm doing. I read one chapter. I read it well in detail, you know, calmly, and make sure that I get something out of it every day. And then I read through the Proverbs. And sometimes I'll take a picture of a proverb and I'll send it to my kids, you know, just to make sure that at least they're getting one verse a day. and then, you know, on the other months, I'll read a psalm. And that's been working out good for me the last couple of years. And once I finish with that program, I don't know what I'm doing. I may go back to reading three chapters a day and read through the whole thing, you know, because that's kind of what it comes out to, three chapters a day or not. But the main thing is, you know, before reading, when I have my mind right, I read Psalm 119, 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And then when you look at Saul's interaction with you know, God, when he approached them on the road to Damascus, is, you know, "Who are you, Lord, and what shall I do?" So those are the questions to ask, you know, during our reading every day. Who are you, God, and what would you like me to do? Okay? So then we come to the third finger, which is actually my favorite, which is study. So where did we stop? We stopped. Okay, so Deuteronomy 29:29 is my favorite passage. It's probably my life verse. My wife told me not to include it in the study part, but I did. Proverbs 2:3-6. I will do Acts 17:11 and then Hebrews 5:12-14 for you. So whenever you have that.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow the words of this Lord.
Yeah, so you know, there's some things that we will never quite get. For instance, the doctrine of predestination. There's some things in there that are beyond our understanding and that we have to believe by faith. But I will try to figure it out. You know, and I will study this scripture to try to identify where God talks about these things and what it is that He wants me to know about those things and what to obey. You know, that's my job as a royal priest and king and leader of my family and leader of men, is to study and find out. Okay? Next verse, please.
Proverbs 3:2-6.
2:3-6.
2.
Yes. Chapter 2.
3-6. Beg as loud as you can for good common sense. Search for wisdom as you search for silver or hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to respond and to know the Lord God.
Yeah, so search for wisdom. Search for those things that are in there. You know, like I said, where have I heard that before? Or, you know, Victor was sharing this with me, you know, last week. What was he talking about? And I try to find those treasures that are dug deep in here. Another motivation for studying the Word is Acts 17:11, where it says, "Now these Jews," so the Jews in Berea, "were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so." And so not because some, you know, clown up on a podium shares Scripture, you know, will I say, okay, you know. So, you know, I expose myself to his teaching. I listen and receive it. But if there's something that rings a bell in my head that says, you know, that's not right, or that is right, and this is where I heard that somewhere else, you know, my preachers who I work with, you know, hand in hand, and we're partners and we're friends, you know, but sometimes he'll say something that I go, you know, not quite so. You know, you might have taken that scripture out of context just to make a point that sounds good, but really not, you know, applicable. And I, you know, as a friend, I say, hey, you know what, maybe that's not the best one to do. And so I build him up, because that's kind of my background. I'm more of that kind of guy than he is. He's more of a touchy-feely. And so that's one reason, you know, and we expose ourselves a lot to other preachers, and those who are not skilled in scriptures are then likely to fall into deception, or, you know, just something that Satan might be using to wash out some of the truths in scripture and make us ineffective. Okay, and then your verse?
Hebrews 5:12-14. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Yeah, so you guys are being trained, right? You've already gone through some training. You're being trained for more. You're going to be teachers. You're going to be leaders of men. You're going to be leaders of families. And men do not live off milk. You know, I'm sorry. You know, we get to the point where we need solid, and we need to feed ourselves, and I don't need to depend on John to keep me fed and healthy and efficient and effective. It's up to me to do that. And so reading is great, but doing a little, you know, more in depth, you know, with several Bibles out open and studying, you know, what different scriptures say and using resource materials, you know, to find out, you know, what word is this and why does it mean that? What is it there for? Who, you know, and this is where we use, you know, the questions, you know, that a reporter would ask, you know, who, why, when, how, you know, what did he say, you know, to find out what's going on. And in that regard, I've attached a couple of charts to your study here. The easier timeline of the Bible is the one that doesn't have all of the arrows and stuff, but it kind of shows in a historical context, you know, how and when the books of the Bible were written, so that we can put it in perspective as we're reading the prophets. You know, sometimes it's confusing. Who was he talking to? Why was he talking to? What was happening in that time? There's this other chart that's a little more complicated. Will show you what was happening in history at that time. You know, who was the head cheese, you know, back in those days? Who was conquering the world? Who are the individual players that are influencing the world as this book is being written? And it's good to have a knowledge of the geography of the whole area and what's happening and why the kingdoms are important. You know, when I was a young man, I'm not going to say that I read the Bible a whole lot before I started growing and when I was in college, but as a kid, I was exposed to a lot of teaching, you know, and reading of the Bible and stuff. And so when I would hear people talking about Israel or read the description that God gives about Israel, that it's going to be all the way from the great river to the this, that, and the other, and the kingdoms of this, that, and the other were conquered, I thought Israel was as big as Russia, you know? You know, it just because they kept talking about the kingdoms, and then when I would look at the world map the way it is now and see Israel is this big, and then, you know, and then thought that Christ wouldn't return until Israel retained its glory, I thought, man, that's never going to happen, you know? But when you look at it and you know what he's talking about, you know, you have a better perspective and an idea of what's happening. So the act of studying God's word really is one of my favorite things. When I was a student under John and his ministry, we had a Bible study that met every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would go through a book in the New Testament and verse by verse, and he would make us paraphrase it, so write it in our own words, read it through several versions, paraphrase it in our own words, find a cross-reference to that verse in the Bible, you know, where does it say that same thing elsewhere to support it, and preferably if it was in the Old Testament, because, you know, they mirror each other, they're not independent of each other. And so it was a good thing for us to be able to look back to the Old Testament and say, where is Christ reflected in that statement? And then personal application, obviously, very important. And so that's the way that I grew up, and that's the way that I try to lead other men in studying God's Word and making it effective and a part of our life. Okay, so let's go to memorizing, which is my least favorite fingers, to be quite honest. But very useful. Who was the last three? Okay, so you're next. Okay. So Deuteronomy 11:18, Psalms 37:31, Psalms 119:9-11, and Proverbs 4:20-22. Whenever you're ready, just shoot.
Deuteronomy 11:18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads.
Yes. And before that, in 6:6 or 6:8, something like that, you know, he's talking about, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall teach these things to your children as you walk, as you eat, as you do this. So the key thought being, you know, how are you going to do these things if you don't have them memorized and useful in your mind? Okay, the next passage, please.
Psalm 37, verse 31. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not sleep.
Exactly. So if we have the law of God in our hearts, memorized, useful, our feet will not slip. Okay, and your passage, please.
How can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yes, and that's a typical verse, right? You probably have it memorized.
Yeah.
But how can the young man keep his way pure? Yeah, and how many times have each of us been in a situation where we're about to do something stupid and that one verse comes into our heart, right? It's like, don't do that, you know? I travel a lot, and there's empty spaces of road in Montana like you would not imagine. And the temptation is always, I could really go a lot faster than I'm going right now. You know, and get to my next location quicker and get rid of my day sooner. And it's breaking the law just the same, even if no one's watching. And unfortunately, I got caught many times. But it's the same thing, you know, when we're in the privacy of our room, what we're thinking about, what we're looking at, who we're hanging out with, you know, all those things. Okay, next passage, please. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, right?
Proverbs 4.
I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
You're there. Proverbs 20?
Yeah, 4, 20 through 22, if you have it.
Yes. My child, listen carefully to everything I say. Don't forget a single word, but think about it all. Knowing these teachings will mean true life and good health for you.
Yeah, and so it kind of this is kind of a segue into the meditation. If we have these things memorized, then they're with us. Nobody can take it away, right? If I were to be thrown in jail for whatever reason and not given a Bible, you know, I would have that information in my head and in my heart to keep me going. Rusty, did you guys do the scripture memory?
Yes.
Deal with Rusty? Okay, so he is a memory champion. You know, and I'm sure that if he could keep himself entertained for weeks, you know, just going over the verses. And I intend to do some more about it when I get home. But it's an ever strengthening grip that we're getting, right? Because we have studied the Word, we have chosen those scriptures that we want to make ours and keep with us that are useful. You know, I hate to say that some verses are better than others. And some verses are more applicable than others because God, you know, inspired each one of them. And, you know, to Him they're all the same. But there are always verses that are a little more applicable to situations that we face that we want to have with us. And so it gets, you know, I can kind of start, you know, to have a grip on it. And so finally, meditation. So the Psalms are full of verses on meditation. Joshua 1:8 and 9. We know that verse, right? You know, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So that's a promise, that's a principle in God's Word, and there's no getting away from it. And You know, sometimes our definition of prosperity and success are different than those that God uses, and we should not judge those by that. But I can tell you, you know, that meditating on these things have made me a prosperous and successful person in the way that I approach my relationship with God and people. And so, we ran out of time. So what do we do with all these things? That's the main key, right? And Ezra 7:10 has, I think, the right approach to that. So let's look all of us up Ezra 7:10. If we can find it. And because all of these things, just to know them for the sake of knowing, and memorizing for the sake of memorizing, and you know, whatever, is prideful, right? And knowledge is great, but there's a whole lot of knowledgeable people that are annoying and proud and not fun to be around. But what did Ezra do? It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of God and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And so, you know, I study so that I build myself up, so that I, you know, so that I can lead my family well, so that I can lead other people well, so I can be a strong believer. But I must obey what it says, you know, apply it to my life, and then take it and teach it to others. Because if it stops with me, that's not fair, right? You know, because John and everyone else who's invested in my life has done so with the idea that I'm going to do what 2 Timothy 2:2 says, right? That I'm going to go ahead and turn around and teach the same things to others and continue that discipleship model, which was passed down all the way from Paul through Timothy, picked up, you know, by Dawson Trotman and revived, and then it continues on now through us. So that's, you know, when we're meditating on it, then on a daily basis, you know, either verses that we memorize or something that we just read on that day, you know, and we say, this I'm going to keep with me. This proverb I'm going to think about for the rest of the day, or this verse in the Psalms I'm going to worship on for the rest of the day as I go through my routine. You know, it gives us a good, solid grip on God's word, and it makes us effective handlers of the truth, so that we can, you know, at the drop of a hat, you know, I should be able to, at this stage in my life, if John asks me, Dan, I need for you to speak on something, you know, I should be able to at least be able to quickly, you know, look up verses, think of, you know, other verses that are associated with it, and be able to speak for at least a little bit, you know, on the topic. And that's a goal for all of us to do. So, and then, you know, I gave you a bunch of other verses on obedience that you can share with the people that you minister to. A bunch of other verses on teaching. On the second handout, you know, there's verses on God's word and the benefits to us and the wonders of it. Some, you know, this, the attributes of the Word of God was taken from GCI's website, where there's a lot of information available. And so I hope that this has been useful to you, that you can encourage other men to make God's Word their own and to appropriate it and be effective as workers. So any questions or